Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome into our weekly podcast. Dom and Dan here, Readin', Writin', and Reason. An outfit, the Daily Wire, I just kind of bumped into this the other day and thought I would include it here in this weekly podcast. They do some of the work for me. They have a great eye, the kind of eye that I have for talk radio. Each week, Education Insanity at the Daily Wire, the top 10 stories of the week. This is volume 24. Why didn't I see this before? These are the wild things going out there in our nation's schools that you should know about. Some of them happen in Pennsylvania. Some of them you may contribute to. Like, are you a Notre Dame alum? Students and faculty, here's my 10th position, at the University of Notre Dame signed an open letter to the school opposing the addition of a Chick-fil-A on campus. The reasons were serious ethical concerns with Chick-fil-A and what about the vegans? There you go. In 9th position from the big list this week, George Washington professor, make life hard for unvaccinated people. George Washington public health professor, Lena Wen, you may have seen this woman, appeared on CNN. She argued that life should be hard for people who have chosen not to get vaccinated. All right, in 8th position, Davidson College. Now, I'm kind of surprised here on Readin', Writin', and Reason that Davidson College would appear on this in North Carolina. They always struck me as relatively moderate. I think one of the Currys, or both of the Currys may have been through there. Seth Curry, at least, I think. Was it Steph Curry, too? They're going to offer a course now, abolish the police, race and policing in the United States. The class description claims that the class will enlist black political and feminist theories about social and political philosophies to critically examine through issues of race, criminalization, incarceration, police militarization, predictive policing, surveillance, and domestic scrutiny, all under the guise, who will be the guest professor? Well, he's not just a professor. This will be taught under the Larry Krasner chair at Davidson. No, I'm just making that part up. Larry Krasner so far doesn't have a chair, although he did go to Europe to lecture on his methods of being a DA at one point. All right, in 7th position, the big list of education insanity this week, YouTube censors video of a school board meeting on mask mandates. They temporarily censored a video of parents questioning the need for mask mandates at an Illinois public school, even after the CDC announced that the masks were unnecessary in schools. The video was reinstated less than 12 hours after it was taken down. In 6th position, Illinois State University gives $1,000 scholarships to 100 students who get fully vaccinated. In 5th position, an Ohio University professor, University of Oklahoma, that's even worse, Julie Ward told the Oklahoma Daily that suppressing disruptive student speech is permissible and not considered a violation of the First Amendment. She said speech in the classroom is different than freedom of speech. Well, let me, as Dr. Dom, since I teach at community college, put it this way. What the heck are you talking about here on Readin', Writin', and Reason? Meaning that, of course, it's the same thing. Now, you as a professor can control class decorum and things that may be going too far, or something that's said that you think is defamatory or hateful or whatever. I mean, you can make that point, but freedom of speech is freedom of speech. If there's a difference of opinion on something, you can't say, well, that opinion per se is out of line, and in a classroom, you don't have any rights whatsoever. No, I don't think so, lady. In fourth position, education insanity this week, elementary school lecturer compares immigrant detention at the southern border to Japanese internment during World War II. A Maryland public elementary school taught children as young as 6 years old that the current detention facilities at the U.S. southern border are comparable to Japanese-American internment camps during World War II. The lecture proceeded to show students images of Asian activists holding signs that read, "Abolish ICE." In third position, and this one is close to home, it's in the area of Pennsylvania where I'm kind of surprised, called Biglersville. This Pennsylvania school district shells out $68,000 on diversity investigation. Internal reports show district went $428,000 over budget because of things like this. It's the Upper Adams School District. They hired a Philadelphia law firm, Fox Rothschild, to conduct the investigation. In second position, a student club at the UNC, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, demands anti-racist alerts when white supremacists come to campus. I can imagine their list of white supremacists. And the Corey Lewandowski was one. And the number one position, education insanity this week, a Wisconsin school district provides sexually explicit books to third graders. Material teaches students how to use sex apps like Grindr and other sex apps. There you go. And that's hard to beat in the number one position. God knows what the Philadelphia public schools might do someday. But I have found a new resource here with Reading, Writing, and Reason to use that every week for you to give you an update out there across the country how much foolishness and damage is being done. Now, teachers' unions across the country, as I predicted, seized upon this American Pediatric Academy. Now, there is another pediatric group that is growing in numbers because of how progressive the APA is. They have seized upon universal masking in school settings as proposed by the American Pediatric Academy. The Orange County, Florida School Employees Group cited a recommendation for them, said kids over two should wear masks in schools. They say it's necessary because the student population is not vaccinated. Hard for schools to determine as new variants come in. And they are proposing that happen in the next school year. Everybody be masked up. In Illinois, the teachers' union helped write a policy for the Springfield School District 186 that would require pre-kindergarten, elementary, and middle school students who cannot receive COVID vaccinations to wear face masks indoors. Board member Micah Miller said he would support that policy. Board member Buffy Lyell-Wolf. Buffy, I'm happy to see relying on the experts of medicine and not just relying on things that are not scientific. My goodness. And Randy Weingarten weighed in
saying,
can you
stop for a sec, Dom?
Yes, Dan.
Did you say that person's name was Buffy Wolf?
It is Buffy Lael hyphen Wolf.
Oh, okay.
To be correct.
That's a little bit better.
Buffy Wolf. Yes, that might be. I'm going to call her Buffy Wolf here. We're friends.
There you go. Yes.
And Randy, not Wolf, Weingarten, told Newsweek magazine, 89% of the teachers were vaccinated at the time. That was way back in June. But that still, masking based upon this APA recommendation, that's in the cards. And finally, here's a good news front out there on Reading, Writing, and Reason. Republicans are getting it. Democrats don't like it. Whatever they say, why do they keep talking about this? The Kansas City Star had a huge piece. Number one cultural issue, the GOP turns to critical race theory in a push to win back the suburbs. You know my big theory on this. One of the reasons this works, you see the Pensbury School District, you see these scrums, that's what they are. They're not school board meetings. They present viral moments. People see this, the PhD moms and even others. Those that are persuadable, and they go, what? Why are we doing this? Who's doing that to my kid in school? Why are these school board members doing that? Well, Republicans are going to ride this and they're right to do it. And Democrats are going to be screaming, it's not critical race theory. Hey, it may not be like in a textbook critical race theory, but if you hear equity, you hear inclusion, you hear America's a racist country, just get them to say it. That's exactly what they're saying. Systemic racism. I'm not saying America's a racist country still. I'm saying it's systemically racist. Same thing. You're not going to get away with it. And they don't like it even a little bit. And these school boards provide each month 1,000 opportunities across the country. You know, each month, one of these officious school board members is going to go nuts. There you have it, shouting down the parents again, denying what is undeniable. All right, coming up here, an example of this, Asra Nomani is with us. She's in the belly of the beast in one of those Virginia school districts where there has been a pitch battle fought, and she won a big one recently because of the number of people that responded to the Biden Education Department and what they were going to do around these phony baloney theories, and they stopped it because the numbers were so overwhelming. It tells me what I always say, this is a tough battle every day, but it's winnable. That's next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom and Dan on Talk Radio 1210.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Reading, Writing, and Reason. One of the best conversations I've had was with Asra Nomani, who is the Vice President of Parents Defending Education. Boy, I wish that action were here. It's hot here, but man, in Virginia, as a talk radio host, it is super hot. And the stuff coming out of there is unbelievable. Asra, thank you. I've seen you in a lot of media recently. The first thing I want to do, though, rather than just talk about the heat of all this, is to talk about kind of a game plan for people listening. A win that you guys engineered, you took this parental furor that's out there, and you turned it into people commenting on a federal matter with the U.S. Department of Education around where they were moving to, I guess, grant money. And the number is staggering of the responses you got. And as a result of that, they at least have blinked for the moment. We don't do that enough, Asra. Celebrate when all this activity in Agita results in doing something good. So walk us through that and tell us maybe what you learned from this. What's the lesson?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a parent just like every other parent out there, became an accidental activist. You know, I had my skills from journalism and public speaking, but never had applied it to schools. And I just want everybody to know that that's the authenticity from which all of this movement comes today, of a resistance to this indoctrination in schools. So we got this organization together earlier this year called Parents Defending Education, and we one of the first things that we did is we signed up to create a portal so that parents and community members across the country could respond to this call for comments that the Education Secretary, Miguel Cardona, put out on these new grants that you talked about. And so this is what you guys should all be so proud of. There were 33,967 comments.
Oh, God!
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And our portal alone got 11,371 of those comments, or over 33% of the total.
I bet Dr. Fishbein may have gotten 5 or 10,000 in there, too,
exactly.
Maybe. Exactly. That's, yes.
And that's the beauty of our effort. Exactly. And you're talking about the organization No Left Turn. And that's what's so wonderful today, is that we have resistance all over the country. And what they did then is took out a requirement that the 1619 Project and the works of the prophet of critical race theory, Ibram Kendi, be included in grant proposals. And so we should not take too many victory laps, you know, because they're still pushing their, you know, buzzwords of this new anti-racism and anti-oppression and all of the terms that they're using as Trojan horses for the indoctrination they want to do. But at least we spoke up, you guys, and that's what's just so powerful today. we talked about it before, right? You don't get between a mom and their kid and education. You know, we're going to keep fighting like this.
It is. But again, the mechanism was there. You have skills. A lot of these parents are pretty high powered, and some of them have come from one that you told us early on, I think, Tiananmen Square, and they're not going to stand for this type of oppression in this country. And that's what it is with a lot of these school boards. While America slept, these school boards were being taken over by these activists that want to indoctrinate and often put in there by the resources of the teachers union. And it just happens to be that Fairfax and Loudoun are two of the hot buttons of this. But the lesson is that people like you with skills and articulation were able to put all this together, Dr. Fishbein here locally, organize this, and it works. It's not saying, all right, the battle's all over. The big school board elections are coming up. So how about in your area? Are the school board elections in November also?
No, they're not. They're going to be in 2023.
Okay.
But importantly this week, a group of parents organized a recall petition against against one school board member, Elaine Tholen, who has been part of the 12-0 vote that has, you know, just trashed our admissions process to America's number one high school, refused to let kids go back to school in a timely way, and just been pushing this quote equity agenda. And so they are fired up, and I just want to say, like, everybody's got the skills, right? Like, on our website at defendinged.org, we give you the template on how to write an op-ed, write a letter to the editor, file a public records request. But I just want everybody to know, like, if you live and breathe, you have skills. So you can speak and you can stand up.
Filing the public record thing, too, you know, the right to know, it's called in Pennsylvania. It has different names in different states. They hate this because they're lazy. Here, we've had a couple of cases in the Philadelphia area, and one of these directors of diversity, inclusion, and all that stuff, they're communicating blatantly on the email trail of that school district about taking down the video or cutting parts of it of people that complained at a meeting. They don't even call each other or meet me at Louie's. They put it right at they put it right out there. And when these parents swoop in and are organized to do this, they just think that, I guess, parents are too stupid or too busy to actually do the paperwork to get this information. And then when other parents see it, they are energized to do more and more of this.
Yeah, because they've lost our trust. That's the problem. You know, these school officials, we allowed them for many, many years to just go unfettered with whatever they wanted to do. And now in the microscope of the COVID pandemic, as we could see what was happening in the classroom, but they also went on steroids, right, with their own efforts. They were just so brazen and so arrogant in their refusal of to hear our voices, that we are just, you know, emboldened now, and we don't trust them. And that's a serious issue that these public officials need to think about, because they are funded by taxpayer dollars. They have a government role. You know, they are part of our state. And that is very, and that's why, like, the mom, Yu Yan from China, is so clear, you know, we're so clear because we have seen it in other societies when the state.
Well, I have to tell you this, given what you've done before and what we've seen, Dan and I, with you, if these cowards would ever debate, Kendi would be an interesting debate with you. The author of the 1619 Project, though, would not last 2 minutes. Kendi is a little bit trickier in what he tries to do, I think. And I wanted you to speak to it as a moment. Your school district is a prime example of this. What a racket this is, the money, Robin DeAngelis, Kendi, the Nicole Jones, and a bunch of others sometimes get up to $20,000 for an hour presentation. It's stunning how big of an industry this is. So I think what you're seeing is you're seeing, like, the triple A of these hustlers come in now. They're not on the national level, and they're making money in the average individual school district, maybe $1,000 an hour, $2,000 an hour, to cause trouble and divide people.
Absolutely. It's an industry. And I was just studying, for example, Chicago's equity plan that they've got. And they have their last page, the thanks. And the thanks are the slew of consulting groups, you know, that they have brought in and paid to come up with these slick little packages that is just part of the echo chamber now of anti-oppression, anti-racism training that, you know, they literally say in there, we want you to think about the your perspective from the skin you're in. I'm like, who talks like that? You know, like, it's become so blatant now in their objectives. And you know, I want to be sure to have some time to talk about this board meeting that I witnessed, right? This moment before the board meeting a week ago.
In which, sure.
You know, I just want everybody to know, like, how important it is to be witnessed. I went to our local board meeting here in Fairfax County and witnessed a protest that a group of brave parents had against critical race theory. And not far from them was another group of parents, and they were a counter-protest. And there I saw before me a first vice president of the NAACP, and she's also was a vice president of training for the PTA. Mm-hmm. And there she declared all of the parents and people that she opposes as anti-diversity, anti-equity, anti-help people, like strange concepts, anti-live and let live people. And then she punctuated her remark with, let them die.
Yes, we played that, and I was unaware that you were there. Wow. Now, she has been removed.
I was the one who videotaped it because I just went there as an ordinary parent, and that's what I wanted to empower your listeners to know, that you just go and be witness. Read these documents and be witness. And in that moment, I tweeted out that video, and it went around the world because we feel like we might as well be dead, you know, to these school officials, but we're not. And that's why I want to just encourage people. We want to encourage people to just take whatever moment that you have in a day to pick up the phone, call the school board, call the principal, ask the questions, because we are the marching millions now in America. It's really exciting.
Well, it's exciting to us, and we're going to do something with our speaker series, again, with your good graces, Dr. Fishbein and Clarice. Clarice, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, here has gotten a guy, a venture capitalist guy in the suburbs, to put up $500,000 to fund 50,
so
up to 50, $10,000 each, to have equal footing in the school board races across the entire state.
That is so great.
Yeah, it is incredible. And I did not know. I should have known. You were the architect, though, of putting that out. And due to social media and witnessing that, that woman is no longer there, at least for now. I wanted to ask you, though, is this on your radar screen? Because it's just kind of breaking. President Biden last night and this American we had on today on the show, the American Academy of Pediatrics, are egging on. It looks like it's going to happen again, that everybody would have to be masked up in school, even though the science has not changed on that, if your child is vaccinated, and the teachers should be vaccinated. Where you are, it started with not being in person.
Right.
Do you think the masking thing, I would assume in Loudoun and Fairfax and these places, they would jump on masking everybody up again, I would think.
I think so. I think they will because, you know, as I've noted, too, in college, you know, situations, colleges in the South, for example, are not demanding masks or vaccinations, but then up in the Northeast, they are, right? There's a little bit of politics to it and a little bit of sort of like, what does your community want? And up here in Fairfax Loudoun, definitely the school boards are going to be very, you know, pro-mask on this. And they won't, I mean, this is just, again, where they are not listening. You know, they're not hearing parents and they're not talking to the parents about the kids and the struggles that they have wearing masks for, you know, 8 hours a day. The special ed kids that are having so many troubles, you know, because of these kind of demands. And so, again, it's another situation. They just keep changing the issue that they don't listen to us about. And it's a thing of real frustration.
One parting area, we're talking with Azra Nomani, the Vice President of Parents Defending Education. Would you give the website or where people should go?
Oh, absolutely. It's defendinged.org. And, you know, another success that you guys should really take credit for in, from Pennsylvania is that everybody now knows the book, Not My Idea. And it was out of Pennsylvania, you know, that one parent said,
Dr.
Fishbein,
right.
Yeah. You know, and so that's what's so powerful, if you're just one witness. And now everybody has that. I have a book in my hand right now. I'm waving it because it was my exhibit A as I entered into this field to recognize the dangerous divisiveness. And if anybody doesn't know the book, it's the book that has the contract with the devil and anybody who is a part of, quote, whiteness. And with the words, whiteness is a bad deal. You know, so that's the nonsense that that we should not tolerate. And it was, again, just a single parent speaking up that allowed it to go across the country in enlightening other people about the dangers we face.
I wanted to pick your brain and experience here. The thing that we've uncovered and people are working on this is when you go to these monthly meetings and people are pent up, they get their 2 minutes, sometimes it's 3 minutes. You have these solicitors here in our area in the suburbs correcting them in the middle of it. And if they call it critical race theory, telling them it's over, you get no more comment. And we have one guy who went viral saying,
oh my gosh,
this is against the Constitution. You have a First Amendment right. You're not defaming, you're not doing anything.
Right.
You can call something critical race theory, and that should be entered into the public record.
Yeah.
Where you are in Loudoun, does that go on? Do they interrupt?
Oh, yeah. I was, when I spoke some weeks ago, I was just coming to the tail end of my remarks, and usually they let you, you know, comfortably end. And the school board member and president, Riccardi Anderson, you know, scolded me as if I was a petulant child and said, go to your seat, you know. She's a black woman. I'm a woman, Asian from India, you know. Like, she doesn't care that I'm now the, quote, oppressed by the oppressor to her. And she doesn't care, right? I mean, she just wants to shame. And so you know what they did then? After I just kept speaking, right? And my voice carried because the microphone was on. Well, sure enough, now they've set it so that at 3 minutes, it goes mute.
Oh!
So, yeah, they just think that, oh, we're going
to... And, you know, you have experience, and I think the most you brought to our attention is the woman from Tiananmen Square. This is how these banana republics act. It's almost like it's cartoonish. They're doing some kind of takeoff of Cuba or something here. And they have a lot of high-achieving people who are high achieving because they suffered or their parents did. They fled and they bring that ethic with them. These are the worst people to be trying to do these things to.
Oh, absolutely. They don't care about our, quote, lived experience, right? Like, I look at their, you know, buzzword bingo of terms that they want to promote. And it's almost like, we want to promote the lived experience of everyone with whom we agree, you know? And
exactly.
Then everybody else, like, we just dehumanize. We say, let them die, you know?
Yeah, Azra, you know I like debating, and I do this for a living, all that.
Yeah.
I'm not debating a woman who was in Tiananmen Square on these issues. My goodness.
Yeah. I know, and telling her that, like, she in the hierarchy of suffering, hers doesn't count as much. You know, you would never dare to dehumanize her that way.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you so much. And again, we look forward to getting the three of you together. You guys are right. This is as grassroots as we've ever seen, and on such a level along the way, learning things and celebrating the individual, as you did today, that everybody has power. Again, give that website, please, for Parents Defending Education.
Yeah, defendinged.org. You can report an incident in your school district. We'll investigate it. You can look for tips and resources. We're here to help you. And if you start a parent group, send us the name and the website or the Facebook page, and we'll put it on the map, because everyone deserves to be on the map fighting this indoctrination.
Exactly right. Azra, thank you so much. Again, we're energized every time we talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Be brave,
right,
everyone.
There's the Vice President of Parents Defending Education, Azra Nomani, here on Reading, Writing, and Reason. And every time I talk with her and that experience and the victories, the things that are Clarice here, Dr. Fishbein, we're going to bring them all together again for speaker series. Dan's working out the date in his head. I'll let him in August. And the last time it was unbelievable. Even the PTA came after us a bit. Another story for another day. I love hearing from her, though. That should inspire you. You know, too many times I say this in talk radio. We don't celebrate enough. We just want to hear rage and rage and rage. Yeah, get raged. But win. This show is about winning. So's this podcast. And these people are winning. And you don't win overnight. And even when you win, these weasels, these progressive weasels, are out there. This is what they live for. You have to continue winning the rest of your life. But that's what life is about. We're on the goal line. Am I going to punch it in? You know I am. And that's what they're doing here. And you're not going to stop us. It is a groundswell. And you don't go after these moms and their kids. Great stuff from Osra. Again, parents defending education. And again, that's what this podcast is about, to help empower you around all these things with your kids. Who would have thought that these local school boards would be the enemy of this? That's okay, because we're energized now to take said school boards back here in November and nationwide over the next 3 years. It's a movement. It's a big movement. It's grassroots. It's pure. It's not driven by ideology per se, except freedom, liberty, and the ability to stop the indoctrination of our kids. Glad you're part of it. Remember, you can share this podcast. It's up on the station's Facebook page. Coming up next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, Dr. Tina Master from the American Academy of Pediatrics. We'll talk with her about masking and everything related here on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in again, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on Dom Giordano and Dan's Reading, Writing, and Reason podcast, which has taken off. And please spread the word about it. You can always find it every Friday on the station's Facebook page or back episodes of the podcast. Dan was able to get this week with all the controversy of this American Academy of Pediatrics coming out saying kids must be masked when they go back to school. Did they influence the CDC, which now appears ready to make that same recommendation? Is it the Biden administration? Well, a local guest, Dr. Christina Master, who is a pediatrician, sports medicine, and a representative of their health committee of the American Academy of Pediatrics, joined us. It was very pleasant, very civil, but we differed, and it came down to their worldview. If it saves one life of one child somewhere, that's worth having all of America's school people, kids included, have to mask up at all times as we head back to school. Dr. Christina, welcome in. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dom. You can just call me Tina. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a real honor.
Well, thank you, Tina, very much. So are you a sports doc for children when it comes to sports medicine?
Yes, I am. It's a really awesome job. So I am trained to take care of adults as well, but I focus primarily on kids. And my research interest is actually concussion, but sports medicine, as you can imagine, with kids is a great field to be in.
I'm sure you're telling them don't play one sport and overtrain your body, right, and get broken down. It's because maybe we can agree on that one. Is that something that comes up a lot? Repetitive sports injury type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The best athletes are good all-around athletes who train and play a variety of sports. I actually always talk about how the best athletes probably play multiple sports, and that's what makes you successful at one. And so from that standpoint, being a good all-around athlete is really your goal, and that will get you where you want to go.
I couldn't agree more. Now, let's talk about what came down from the AAP and then the repercussions of it. Why now? What kind of study? Because the CDC at this point still, we don't know what they're going to say, but at that point said, hey, you're vaccinated. Most teachers were around 90% or more. And kids that were vaccinated, you wouldn't have to wear a mask in school starting back. What changed? I didn't see anything.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think, you know, definitely what you've hit on is the fact that what we've been in for the last year and a half has been a really very fluid situation. Definitely what the American Academy of Pediatrics put out really isn't contradicting the CDC. It's really expanding upon it. And what I want to definitely highlight is what the AAP and the Pennsylvania AAP chapter is all about is really the kids. You know, so what we care most about is making sure that our kids are safe, that essentially one child lost to COVID is one too many. And so the recommendation for masking is really reflecting the fact that all of our kids 12 and under aren't able to get the vaccine, so they're still at risk for getting the disease. And from that standpoint, masking is a really straightforward, simple way of ensuring that we don't have any unnecessary risks that are incurred by our kids who are the youngest and most vulnerable in our group.
Okay, I would take the other side of it. Of course, one child's death, but that we base things, and you know this because you do when you give advice to parents, we base it on risk. Isn't there a downside, or does the American Academy of Pediatrics think it's overblown when it comes to lack of learning, lack of social skills that are developed with all this masking, and a feeling of kids going back of depression, here we go again all day to wear a mask?
I totally hear what you're saying. And I have to tell you, Dom, I don't think that there's any one of us in pediatrics who wouldn't love to be able to not have to worry about COVID or wearing masks. I think that the one thing that I would emphasize about this recommendation is that the goal really is 100% to get our kids back in school, in person, doing their activities right, and their learning and being with their friends.
But Tina, let me cut to the chase, though. Are you on a side that says, because of one potential death, and I'm not minimizing that, that we have to suffer these other ills? Or are the pediatricians group, and maybe you personally, I'll give you what bothers me. Now, you're much different. You said you came on, call me Tina and all that. We engage on something. One of the spokespeople said, and I'm paraphrasing, for your group, the national group, well, it's not like we're asking people to go into the trenches, minimizing that this is more than just a slight inconvenience, particularly with very young kids, to keep a mask on all day.
I totally hear you. I know it's not easy, and I know it's definitely a lot to ask. I think that the one thing that we would still emphasize is that this is, relatively speaking, one of the things that actually has a really big impact. So it's a small action that has a big impact. And, you know, I also, besides being a sports medicine pediatrician and also a general pediatrician still also, so I take care of general kids in my practice too, and I've been doing that now for I think I'm going into my 29th year in Philadelphia, so I love taking care of kids. I know how hard it is and how hard it is for parents of young kids this last year. And so what we would say is that, you know, it is something that we know is something that we're asking, that's an extra mile for someone to go. We think that it's something that will make a huge difference. I don't know if you noticed this year. I mean, there was a lot less other illnesses going around because of masking. So that was an interesting side effect of everybody masking, that we didn't really see the other illnesses going around as well.
But Tina, with all due respect, though, you haven't fully addressed to me here. You've acknowledged that there are problems with this, but you think those problems are relatively minimal. In other words, there are people out there talking about this whole masking thing and how it leads to more social ills, including depression and suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. I could argue lives are lost if you're going back into that mentality. It's not just itchy and an inconvenience. Do the studies not?
Yeah, you know, I think that's very interesting because, again, what I would say is that I haven't read any, evidence or research that has indicated that wearing a mask increases depression. I know that having kids out of school absolutely contributed to mental health issues in the last year. I think that getting them back into school, but with a mask, is a really, really reasonable way of making sure that they're safe and they're able to be in school and doing the things that they should be doing, you know, with their friends, with their peers, in school, in activities. And so we would say that mask is really just a 100% easy way to ensure that they're protected. They're protecting themselves. They're protecting others. And from that standpoint, that they're able to do the things that, you know, they want to be and we want them to be doing in school.
Tina, let's ask about incentives towards vaccination with teenagers. I know there's the incentive of you're not going to be hospitalized, the incentive of you're not going to die. It's the odds are incredible. But isn't this chipping away because we're at a fragile point here? And you'll have people that will say, look, I got vaccinated. I shouldn't have to wear the mask then. What do you say to that? It does chip away. People are not sitting there in a laboratory making the decision on this. So what do you say to those who got their kids vaccinated?
Yeah, no. And, you know, you're asking a great question because I can tell you what I do say, because I do still pediatric patients, I get this question all the time in the office. And I think parents are really doing their best in terms of trying to get the right information and make the best decision for their children. So I really appreciate that. And I think from that standpoint, what I would say is that this vaccine, was really so unbelievably quick, how quickly we got it. So science has really been our friend on that front. And then the one thing that I would remind people, though, is that, you know, nothing is 100% in life. Like, I mean, how often do we say that as parents to our kids, right? Nothing is 100%. And so from that standpoint, even most, highest efficacy that we've seen with the vaccine, being around 95%, there's still 5% of those who are vaccinated who can get the disease. Definitely, they have less significant disease, but they can also transmit it, although they lower risk of transmitting it than if they weren't vaccinated. So just like you're saying, you're right. The vaccine has made a big difference. They're definitely better off and safer for sure. But there is still a small risk. And we're just trying to get as far as we can in terms of getting this under control. Because I would just say that we're not out of the woods yet. For everybody that has to reach back into our, biology classes, because it's been a long time since I did any virology classes, viruses mutate at a really crazy rate, right? And we're seeing that right now all around the world. All these variants, all these mutations, and that's just what they do, right? And so if we don't really do something to really try and tamp it down and get rid of it so that it just doesn't, to eradicate it essentially, so it's not circulating at all, we're always going to have this risk of essentially a variant that's going to be what we would call, quote unquote, escaping our measures, of vaccination or other things that we'll do. And so masking actually ends up being one of those sort of universal protective measures that no matter what the variant is going to give you protection for that. Whether you're vaccinated, it'll cover right. You that extra 5%, and so all those things. And so we still think that it is a benefit. We think it's worth the burden that it is for our kids, for the ones that are at risk. And we're really all about just wanting to make sure that our kids are safe, but that they're also hopefully getting back in person into the school setting so they can have as normal as we can possibly get to this fall with the virus still circulating.
Parting question for you. We bring on a guy, Dr. Joseph Valentina. He's the associate professor, director of healthy buildings at Harvard. He wrote in the Washington Post the last couple of days that nothing has changed here since the CDC told vaccinated people they didn't have to wear a mask indoors. There's no new data showing the vaccines don't work. Again, so we're not bringing people on that are not at the highest level of credentialing. Could it be that, is it fair to say, and this would be tough because you're a spokesperson of sorts for this organization, that this is a worldview that's built into this rather than the data? In other words, what you've expressed to me today sounds reasonable, but it's a worldview toward the most minimal part of what may happen here versus what I know to be very more than inconvenient things on the other side. What do you make of it that a guy like this at Harvard has routinely said this, and this is written in the Washington Post? These aren't people weaponizing the virus with a political point of view. Yeah, I don't see the data is the bottom line as much as it's a worldview that's baked into this.
Yeah, no. So, I think from that standpoint, you are 100% correct that everybody comes to the table with, a worldview or a lens that they view the world through that makes it, that helps them make their way around the world and make decisions, in terms of how they're going to live, act, behave, the opinions that they hold. And I think we would just get back to, again, 100% what we are about as pediatricians is trying to get to that point where we can keep every child safe. You know, and I think from that standpoint, that's really what we're going for here, that it is possible, it's achievable, and we'd like to do that. And so I think from that standpoint, you know, the professor that you quoted from Harvard is right to a degree that essentially there isn't new data that's changing this. It is how you look at it, and it's how you do it. And every parent does have to, like, look at all the information and make their own decision. And, you know, last I checked, it's still a free country, so they can do that. But I just want to make sure that everybody has the information and understands why we're making the recommendation. And it's not because we're trying to be a pain in the rear, and it's not because we don't want to be wearing masks. I mean, we'd love it if we didn't have to wear masks, right? We're doing it because we care 100% about every single child, and we think that this is a way that we can actually protect all of them and move forward. And so I would really encourage parents to talk to their pediatrician about it, check in with them, get your kids in there for your checkup before school starts, have a conversation with them. They know you. They know your patient, your kid really well, and they can help you make that decision. They can make sure they're you're up to date with all of your current vaccinations. Okay. And I would just say have that conversation because, you know, they're right. But I think from that standpoint, our worldview is that we care about kids, and we're not, you know, we're not going to shy away from that. You know, that's an important thing to us. That's why we chose this as our life's calling, and we're gonna keep pushing to make sure our kids are as safe as they can possibly be and get them back in school this fall.
Well, Dr. Tina, thank you. Please come back. I'm sure there's other issues
you
want
to
talk about.
I would love
to
come
back. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, as I said, you can hear in that interview, we were on different sides, but she's a pleasant person, good enough to come on, and we, you know, duked it out on the substance of it. That's what I try to do. Dr. Joe Allen from Harvard, he's not only from Harvard, he's also the head of research into public buildings nationwide, has said no data changed. Why are we doing this all of a sudden? Well, this outfit, the American Academy of Pediatrics, has a different worldview. They're pressing it. Joe Biden's pressing it because he thinks people want him to do something. And what you're going to see is an unbelievable battle saying we have to mask up our kids again. Hey, thanks for listening today, and thanks to Dan for producing all this Reading, Writing, and Reason.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.